Our first case, State of Washington versus Judith Morris. Party's ready to proceed.
State's ready, Your Honor. May it please the court, John Jewell for the State of Washington. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time.
I'm sorry, 3 minutes?
Correct.
Okay.
And in this case, the Superior Court's Rawls ruling that Deputy Ravenscraft's contact with Morris constituted an unlawful seizure conflicts with controlling Washington law. The court gave three reasons for its ruling. The first was that Morris would have enjoyed greater protection as a pedestrian if she had entered the vehicle. This conflicts with State v. O'Neill, where the court ruled that where a vehicle is parked in a public place, the distinction between a pedestrian and an occupant of a vehicle dissipates. In this case, the defendant was not a passenger in the vehicle when she was contacted by the deputy. The car had pulled into a gas station, mini-mart store area at the pumps. The officer ran the license plate. Prior to contacting anyone in the vehicle, the passenger, Ms. Morris, got out of the vehicle of her own volition and entered into the store. The officer learned that the driver's license was suspended and that there were warrants for her arrest. He contacted her and placed her under arrest. And after that had transpired, Morris came out of the store, and as she was walking back towards the car, the officer contacted her, asked her for her name, date of birth, and the last four digits of her license. His reasons were to determine if she was a licensed driver so she could move the vehicle rather than having it towed, and because she was a witness to the driving while license suspended.
Why did that not constitute a seizure?
Because she was not a passenger in the car, she was just a pedestrian, and police can contact people and engage them in conversation. They can ask them questions. They can ask them to identify themselves. As long as the contact doesn't, there isn't a show of force, there isn't a demand, they don't take the person's driver's license or something to restrain them from walking away.
Well, do police officers typically ask for the type of information that was being requested here of people walking on the street?
In a situation similar to this, where there was some reason to, and the officer gave reasons for it, I don't think officers just routinely walk up to people on the street and ask them their name.
Well, the reason was related to the concern about driving the car, which implicates her status as a passenger, doesn't it?
It indicates her association with the vehicle. She had been a passenger. She was in the car when it pulled in and parked at the gas pumps. So the officer did recognize her as someone associated with the car. And then she was walking back towards the car. At that point, the officer wouldn't let her just drive off the car because she was, unless he could confirm that it was her vehicle.
Was there some indication she was about to do that, drive off with the car?
There was just the indication that she was walking back towards the car. There was no indication that she had actually arrived at the car, that she was going to enter the vehicle at all.
Why wouldn't the, as the previous question about the information that was sought, the name, the date of birth, the last four of her numbers of her Social Security number, I mean, if the concern was, is she able to drive the car away, wouldn't the question be, are you licensed to drive? Can you show me your license?
The officer could have started with that, asked, you know, do you want to drive the car away? Are you licensed? If she said yes, he would then want her information to run her to make sure she did have a valid license. Because you can look at a license, you can't tell if it's suspended until some court action or DOL has had that license to punch it or indicated it's no longer valid. So the officer could have asked her that question first, but asking the other questions, she was a witness to the driving while license suspended, so he wanted to identify her so that the parties could call her as a witness in the court action.
Well, is it typical to ask for the last four digits of your Social Security number in order to call you as a witness?
Not to call as a witness. It is typical for officers to ask that to confirm that the person is saying who they are. People can know someone's name and may know a date of birth or something. Few people know somebody's Social Security number other than a very intimate relationship.
So you're saying that's a typical question that's asked now?
Yes, it's typically asked by officers to confirm an identification. The other reason given by the court was that there were no grounds for a Terry stop. The case law, O'Neill, Nettles, Armenta, and Moat all say that police are permitted to converse with people and ask for identifications without an articulable suspicion. That they simply ask and engage in a conversation, you don't have to have grounds for a Terry stop to talk to someone.
And so are you taking the position this was not a Terry stop?
Correct. It was not a Terry. It's confusing because there was a Terry stop and an investigation arrest of the driver,
mm-hmm.
but that was separate from the contact with Morris, the defendant in this case. So he was not investigating her, did not have any suspicion that she had engaged in any kind of criminal activity. He was simply trying to identify her, as said, for driving the vehicle and as a witness to the other offense.
Was she free to leave?
Yes, she was. Well, there was no showing that she wasn't free to leave. The officer's subjective belief was that she couldn't leave, that he wanted to talk to her, he wanted to identify her for the reason said. But she could have said, I don't want to talk to you, and walked away. The law is clear that she did not have to continue the conversation with the officer.
But if she walks out, she sees that the person she was with has just been arrested, the officer then approaches her and asks for her name, date of birth, social security number. And do you think a reasonable person in those circumstances would feel like they could walk away?
I think if she wanted to walk away, yes. If she had a reason that she didn't want to talk to the officer, she could have walked away. I think in a situation most people would talk to the officer, just as most people, if someone walks up to you on the street and asks you what time it is or a question, you'll respond to the question. You may be short, you may be abrupt, you may say, I want to talk to you, depending on the situation. So she had the freedom to make that choice. The fact that she chose to talk to the officer doesn't remove her freedom to choose not to. The third reason given by the court was that the driver had been arrested, but there was no evidence shown that the defendant was aware of that arrest even. It happened while she was in the store. And there was no indication that there was other officers present or that there was any kind of show of force. In fact, the court found that the officer voice was, tone was conversational when he approached it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. Chris Gibson on behalf of Mrs. Morris. I think based upon these court's questions, it recognizes we're looking at a gray area, really, between the Neal case, which says people in a parked car in a public place can have a social contact if you're an officer, and that of Rankin, where after a legal stop of a car, any sort of questioning of the passengers constitutes a seizure. I think this case falls closer to the Rankin side, because clearly we have a situation where this is kind of like, we have a vehicle en route. It has to stop to gas up. That's no different than, say, stopping at a rest area or at a weigh station or something like that. There's a continuation of the travel, if you will, here. And I think it's clear that, the finding was that when Ms. Morris came out of the store, she did see that the driver of her vehicle had been arrested and was placed in the back of Mr. Ravenscraft's vehicle, patrol car. And as I think the court recognizes, she was not in a position to just walk away. The person who had been driving her was now under arrest. We believe it's nighttime. We know he's working the night shift. He indicates it may be at night. We don't know that they're anywhere near where she even knows the area. She's a woman at night in October. And can't just freely walk away into the unknown area around her. I think this is a good...
There's some evidence of that her familiarity or unfamiliarity with...
No, there isn't. But we do know that they were in the process, they were stopping to get gas. And so clearly they're in the process of traveling. We don't know where they were coming from or where they're going to. But they're in the process of traveling from point A to point B, and this is a stop in between, obviously to gas the vehicle up so they can continue their journey. The rule the general rule is you look at the totality of the circumstances in the case. And that's where the district court took a too narrow of a view of this case. It simply looked at what Deputy Ravenscraft said to Ms. Morris and didn't take into account the circumstances, which were that they were obviously traveling in their vehicle. It's at night. And the driver of the vehicle is now under arrest. Now, there may have been logical reasons, as the district court found, to ask Ms. Morris if she had a license, but I think, as this court noted, maybe the proper place to start would have been, are you willing to drive this vehicle away from here, to get drive it away from the gas pumps?
And that was what the district court found was the legitimate inquiry about,
yes,
about trying to ascertain whether she could drive.
Sure, and then maybe that's a logical reason to find out if this is a potential driver, but you don't start with, give me your name, date of birth, and Social Security number. That has nothing to do with
driving. Do you agree that asking for your Social Security number is now a routine question that's asked of people by the police?
I've never seen it before. But, I mean, I don't, and certainly not just walking up to somebody on the street and asking those questions seems kind of an odd thing to do. And it would certainly put me on edge if all of a sudden an armed police officer walks up and says, I want this information from you. What did I do?
Well, license number, I think, or your license, that's pretty typical.
Well, I think the appropriate way to start would have been, are you willing to drive this vehicle off the lot?
Right.
If you are, do you have a driver's license? If you're willing to and you do have a driver's license, may I see it? Rather than starting with the investigative aspects that Mr. Ravenscraft, or Deputy Ravenscraft, used, which was getting name, birth date, and last four digits. I mean, he was clearly, I want to confirm who this is. And Ravenscraft even admits, I routinely check out cars. I routinely see who's out there who may have warrants. And that's what he was doing in this case. He may have had a secondary purpose of getting the vehicle away from the gas pumps.
Well, also, I guess there's some indication he's trying to identify her as a potential witness.
There was that comment made as well. But that aside, you don't start with that kind of information. Can I have your name, maybe? The person who was driving your vehicle has been arrested for driving while license suspended. I'd like your name as a witness. We don't have that here. We don't have explanations for why the officer is approaching. It's not a social contact. It's clearly an investigative contact.
The trial court found that there was not a seizure based on the tone of voice, that there was no command given, that it was a conversational approach, that there was no weapons drawn, there was no show of force or authority in conducting this conversation with Ms. Morris. Were any of those findings challenged on appeal?
They were not challenged at the Rawls Court. Well, the finding that there was not a seizure was challenged, the legal conclusion based upon the facts that were.
Right. But the supporting facts, the facts that would support that conclusion, were not challenged, were they?
Well, the problem was the facts that were established at the hearing didn't support that conclusion, because all we had was Ravenscraft saying, I asked her for her name, date of birth, and last four digits of her Social Security number. He didn't say, he didn't recall the tone. He said, I think it was conversational. But he didn't.
That's undisputed evidence.
That's undisputed that it may have been conversational. The tone may have been conversational, but the request is not the type of social contact you would expect. He was requesting information that is investigatory in nature rather than, I mean, from a legal standpoint.
But if, in fact, the tone was conversational, there was no show of force or authority, regardless of the question, she could have walked away.
Well, and I get back to my point where the court took a too narrow a view of the circumstances, because, again, it's a totality of the circumstances. And so you have to look at, this was a person who was returning to a vehicle that was clearly they were going from point A to point B, and so she was returning to a vehicle, and the driver of that vehicle is now locked up in the back of the patrol car. And so by asking those types of questions, which would put anybody on edge, Ms. Morris didn't feel free to leave, because she couldn't leave at that point. Her driver had been arrested, and now she's being questioned by a police officer to provide this information. She couldn't just simply say no. Because of the totality of the circumstances. It's at night, they're in progress of traveling. So I think if this court looks at that gray area between Rankin and O'Neill, this is an opportunity to find that a passenger remains a passenger for purposes of police contact when they are in progress. If this had happened at a rest area on I-90 or at a way station on I-5, and the passenger had gotten out to go use the restroom and come back to their car, and all of a sudden they come upon the police, have arrested their driver, and then they're being questioned for identification information. Under Rankin, that's clearly an investigative stop, and that's a seizure. And I think this court should find that that's the same circumstance that occurred here. This falls on the Rankin side because...
Well, is your argument that the only reason the police officer contacted her was because she had been a passenger, and that's why this falls within Rankin?
Absolutely. That was the only reason for him to even have this social contact. He wasn't contacting everybody coming out of the store. He was contacting the person he saw get out, go to the store, and come back. I think the Rawls court in this case took the correct view and looked at the totality of the circumstances. It didn't take a narrow view. It looked at everything. It didn't just concentrate on the questions that and the tone of voice that Ravenscraft used in questioning Morris. He looked at the circumstances she was in and found that this clearly constituted a seizure because she was, for all practical purposes, a passenger in a vehicle, and therefore Rankin would apply under these circumstances. Ask that this court affirm the Rawls court. Unless there's any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
On the question of whether it's a public place or a stop under Rankin, Rankin does not apply here.
Why?
She was not a passenger in the vehicle.
Well, she had been a passenger in the vehicle, correct. And that's the only reason the officer contacted her.
Correct. She had been a passenger. She had been associated with the vehicle. But the vehicle was not stopped by the officer, and Rankin is where the police stop a vehicle, and they interrupt the vehicle's driving to its destination. So the passenger... transportation has been interrupted. They don't have a choice whether they're sitting in the car when the police stop them. In this case, the police pulled in, the car pulled in by itself and stopped. The passenger got out of the vehicle voluntarily and left. So she disassociated herself from the vehicle.
Well, she went into the store, but she was going back to the car, was she not? I mean, she wasn't on her way someplace else.
Correct. She is headed back towards the car. Whether she was going to try to get in the car, whether to obtain something, I don't care because she was the officer stopped her. But passenger status isn't something that you can set aside or hold in your pocket that you can then, oh, I'm a passenger. I was riding in the car earlier today, officer.
No, it wasn't earlier today. It was moments.
It was moments before, but it was her own volition to leave the car. The officer didn't tell her to get out of the car. She didn't have to get out of the car. She could have remained there. She got out of the car and left, and when the officer contacted her, she was not a passenger in the vehicle. But even if Rankin does apply, in this case, the officer articulated independent reasons for contacting her and asking her the questions. He wasn't simply taking advantage of an investigation of a driver, which is what Rankin prohibits. You know, the passenger isn't free game because you have grounds to investigate the piper.
Well, why isn't asking for the Social Security number free game? Why isn't that part of an investigation rather than trying to ascertain whether you have a license to drive the car?
Because of the reasons he gave here. He was doing it to see if she could drive and because she was a witness to the driver's offense of driving without a license. In Rankin, it was a case where the passenger was just identified so that they could run them for warrants or try to get information on them. They were kind of expanding the scope of their search of the offense that they had stopped for.
Well, why isn't the Social Security number expanding the scope of the search?
Because that was asked for to make sure that the person was saying who they were. Officers routinely do that to make sure that the name being
I've
given
them...
I've
never seen that, so I don't know where you get this routinely.
I read a lot of police reports, and I see it in them all the time. So,
But he didn't even ask for the... Even ask if she had a driver's license. That didn't even come up, did it?
No, he didn't ask her that, or he didn't test her that he asked her that. But because he had the other reason as a witness, I don't think he needed to start with that. I don't think there's any case where he said, here's the procedure the officer has to go through in asking for identification. He had an articular reason, and he stated that. The state requests that the court reverse the Superior Court's decision in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you.